Raptors 905, the G League team of the Toronto Raptors. We've talked about this club an awful lot. Anybody who's followed the Raptors the past couple of years knows how important a role 905 has played in season in terms of making players available to the Raptors, but also as a, I think also as an important part of the sports community in this city in a lot of ways. I was going to say kind of an entry level to basketball. That's probably unfair, but it is a, one of the things that has made basketball in Canada and contributed to the strength of basketball in Canada, I think, is the fact that there are a variety of ways for people to get the basketball experience. And the G League is certainly one of those. And as I mentioned, Raptors 905 has played an important role in the development of basketball, not just in the city and in the suburbs, but it's played an important role as well in the development of the Toronto Raptors. Jama Malalea, of course, you know him. He's the Raptors assistant coach. This year, he will be taking on a new role as the Raptors 905 head coach, and we're very pleased to be joined by Jama Malalea. Jama, thank you so much for joining us today. What do you think the biggest difference is going to be? Head coach, assistant coach? What's the biggest difference going to be?
Yeah, great question, Jeff. I think, you know, it's being an assistant coach and spending 5 years with the team and going through all the ups and downs and our playoff success with the Raptors has taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. But it's a different story completely to now be that head coach, to be in Dwayne Casey's shoes, to be in Nick Nurse's shoes, and have that final decision sort of matter. And for me, that's the biggest change. The work is the same. We develop players the same way. We spend the time on X's and O's and game preparation. But to have that final sort of sense of, you know, your decision matters.
The buck stops here now.
It's, I mean, that's the difference, right? And yeah, that's the challenge, and that's why I wanted to do this, because I think that's a great learning curve for me as a young coach.
When do you and I'm always interested when you talk to people who've worked their way up. When do you know you're ready to become the guy? Is it something you feel and something you just realize, or is it something you don't think about until somebody says, you know, hey, we're interested. Would you be interested in being head coach of Raptors 905? How does that? When do you realize you're ready for it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think for me, I've always done the job I'm currently doing as hard as I possibly can and as well as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. And then when opportunities come up, then you sort of evaluate and decide, hey, does this make sense for me right now in my life or not? A few years ago, there was a sense of, hey, maybe this is something I could do. And at that point, I wasn't quite sure. But this summer, when the conversations came up and when we got into discussion, it felt right. I felt ready. It felt like I was prepared to really sort of do the job well and to help the 905 program, you know, continue to succeed.
Now, what is it about the 905 program? And I'm sure you'll probably have a better sense of it this year. But you know, the ability, I mean, other NBA teams have G League teams, but the 905 seems to have had an ability, to produce guys who can hit the ground running in the NBA. Like, it's remarkable how many guys contributed, like would play for 905 that afternoon or something like that. I mean, and then come up and contribute to the Raptors. I'm thinking of Norm. I'm thinking of Fred. What is it about the ethos or the structure of that program that allows guys to really hit the ground running in the NBA? Because, I mean, you know, there are guys who spend 2 or 3 years riding a bench in the NBA who can't hit the ground running when they actually get out in the court. And yet here are these guys from 905 coming up, getting 5 minutes, 6 minutes, they're contributing. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, to me, it's multifaceted. And I think it begins with our scouting department, which sometimes doesn't even get enough credit. I think Dan Tolsman and his group do a great job of finding the talent first. So who are we bringing into our organization at whatever level, mm-hmm. as a free agent or as a sort of entry-level, undrafted potential player? And then once we have those people in our fold, then they're part of a development system that, to me, mirrors both teams. Meaning if you're 905 or Raptors, it doesn't really matter in your development because you can be treated the same way and developed the same way. And that's how we've created the people like the Fred VanVleet, the DeLon Wrights, the Pascal Siakams, who have played significant G League minutes, and it's transferred directly to the NBA team because there's such a connection between both of those teams. And that, to me, proximity being one thing, they're right mm-hmm. up to Gardner, but more so it's style of play, it's connection between the staffs, it's connection between the front offices, and that to me is this sort of like magical recipe for their success.
You're going to have guys in this team, some of them who were real good college players, guys maybe went to the Final Four, guys have had a lot of success, guys who have essentially been told, you know what, you're not good enough for the NBA right now. And some guys who may think, you know, I'm never going to be good enough for the NBA. But how do you go about handling guys who are there? I mean, I'm sure they see it as an opportunity. It's like anything else. As long as someone wants to pay you and wear a uniform, you're in with a shout. You've got a chance. But have you thought about how you're gonna talk to that guy who could have been at a big college and had a great year and just isn't ready for the NBA yet? Now he's in the G League, and God, the NBA team's just like, I can taste it. It's 25 minutes away. How do you go about handling that guy?
I mean, I think we've all dreamed big, and we've all dreamed of sort of our NBA careers, and these players are no different. Since the age they were 12 and 13, they wanted to play in the NBA. So for me, when they're on my team, it's truly about, and it's an honest conversation to say, what can I do as a coach and in my coaching staff to get you there? Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is success. If we have two players called up to any NBA team this year, that's a success for what we're supposed to be doing. And even more importantly, called up to our own team. And the way that I can incent them is by saying, listen, you're going to work as hard as you possibly can, and we're doing the exact same things that the NBA team is doing. We're running mm-hmm. practice the same way. We're calling it the same thing. So you're almost, you know, training starts now. Your NBA training starts here with my team. And when you do get to an NBA team, which hopefully is your vision and hopefully you get there, you're going to be more prepared in a better space to then perform and put up numbers and sort of be the player that you always dreamed you could be.
What did you learn from being around Dwayne Casey and being around the NBA staff that surprised you? You know, in other words, everybody, I think, goes into coaching with preconceived ideas and maybe a sense of what it's going to be like. But is there something that at the end of the day you sit back and go, yeah, I just didn't see that coming. Like that just amazes me. I don't know if it's you talk to guys who manage, they'll tell you that the speed of the game, manager of a baseball team, you know, John Gibbons will say, look, I caught, but the speed of the game when you're in the dugout, I mean, there's just so many things coming at you. What's the thing you've been able to experience that really, you know, you really had to think about?
I mean, I think especially Coach Casey and the leadership that he provided for me and doing this for 5 years, it's the resiliency you need, players and coaches, to be in an NBA team. We have a long season. We spend a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. And the ability to sort of come off of a one or two game losing skid and then come in the next day and find a way to work with energy and work with passion and find that sort of that way to motivate your players. And then if you're the player, the way that you can get up again the next day and get up the next day and get up the next day and still perform. To me, a resiliency is needed to be an NBA sort of person. And that, to me, was my major learning. The X's and O's are similar. They're mm-hmm. nothing brand new invented under basketball. The way you present it is different at an NBA or G League level. But it's the resiliency you need to survive almost a season and get to a place where you're ready to go for the playoffs.
You can't afford to have a bad day as a coach, can you? I mean, yeah, and if you do, you sure as hell can't let the players, the media, or anybody see it.
No, I think consistency is important, and Coach brought that every day, and that's something I want to try and emulate, where I'm the same every day. If we've won or lost the game the night before, if we've had a long travel day, or if we've had 2 days off, I'm going to be the same, and you're going to be able to get the same response from me if you're a player, because I think they need to see some consistency, some regularity for them to feel comfortable and confident, especially as these long seasons wear on.
In conversation with Jama Malalea, Nick Nurse is the new head coach of the Raptors. I presume things will be done a little differently in terms of systems. Now I would presume that also means there will be a change at Raptors 905 in terms of some of the things you do. Without giving away state secrets here, what can we, do you think, we'll see with the Raptors and also with 905? Maybe some differences in obviously with the Raptors, Kawhi Leonard's going to make a difference to the way things are done. But in terms of structure in that, what are some of the differences we might see?
I mean, I think as modern basketball sort of progresses and you saw what Nick did with our offense last year and, you know, an ability to sort of really find ways to score the ball the way we want to score. And that's a big thing in the NBA is getting the shots you want to get. Mm-hmm. We have a shot spectrum of the shots we want our players to shoot and also, conversely, the shots we want the opponent to shoot.
Right.
And those are based on analytics and numbers and sort of lots of metrics that sort of get us to this point that if you take a corner three-point shot, you know, your numbers are much higher and much more valuable to take that shot than what we call a non-paint two or something just outside mm-hmm. of the key area. So on the offensive side of the ball, I think that will continue. I think our ability to hunt down the right shots and then find the players that can do that too. And as we speak about players and you look at our Raptor roster and everyone's sort of seeing the additions we have with that team, but then also as our 905 roster will get released, a lot of what we are now calling sort of this positionless player. So they're not exclusively a point guard, exclusively a center or a wing. They can do bits of everything. And it's that ability to sort of play different brands of basketball, even within a 48-minute game, that really will be the difference maker. You know, I think the game is changing where you can't just do the same thing every single night. You need to match your opponent, and you need to trick them a little bit by going with some sort of oddball lineups, playing all wings or two bigs or four smalls.
How much of a role will analytics or does analytics play in the G League?
It's growing, and I think it needs to continue to grow more. I've hired a coach specifically for that for my team because I think the G League doesn't quite have the same history of analytics that the NBA does, where it's now very sort of controlled, and we have experts, three or four of them, pounding out numbers every day and giving us sort of what the game is telling you. So we need to increase that in the G League, and I've hired someone to do that, and I think that, for me, will be exciting. And for our players that have never been in the NBA before to understand what does this data mean and how does that affect how I play the game.
That to me, and I noticed it so much covering baseball, one of the important things was getting the players comfortable with the information, right? Because you don't want – you want to give them as much information as you can, but you don't want to inundate guys with information. And there's really – you have to learn – it's like anything else. You have to learn how to use the information in front of you, don't you?
And I mean, a coach's job is to do that translation piece. So if we're given, you know, mounds and mounds of data that tells us these specific things, you know, an analytics person has that information. They're the expert in that. But what a coach's expertise is how to actually make that applicable to the basketball player's game. So they know what they need to do in that specific game, in that specific moment, to do the right thing that then obviously mirrors all the numbers that say, hey, yes, this is the right thing. So it's about people. I mean, coaching's about people and communication. And as much information as you have or X's and O's, at the end of the day, it always comes down to how do you communicate to your players.
You're going to have an open tryout at U of T. I think U of T, Mississauga. What would you look for in that tryout, and who could be expected to show up there?
So when I first got the job, one of my first mandates that I put on myself was to really increase Canadian coaching content and provide some opportunities for Canadian coaches. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do that, and my staff has, you know, four or five Canadians now, and that's an exciting piece for me as also a Canadian coach to have that happen. This tryout is the next phase for me of that, that I want Canadian basketball players on my team. I think that there's a wealth of skill and talent here in this country, and this open tryout provides a forum for all the people that have dreamed big, all the people that have said, hey, I want to be a professional basketball player, to come out and to try their hand at it. And I think, you know, my mandate is, hey, I want Canadians on my team, players and coaches, and so this to me is a great opportunity to come out and give it a shot.
The fact that we are kind of in an era now or a stage of positionless basketball, does that increase the potential, the field of potential players? You know, in other words, are there less maybe preconceived ideas about what a quote-unquote NBA player is now compared to what there used to be?
For sure. I mean, I think in the past, sort of your body defined so much.
Yeah.
If you're 6'10" or 7'1", hey, you got a great shot. Or if you're super lightning quick as a point guard, you've got a great shot. Now, I mean, I think that, again, because it's such a skill-based game and you know, dribble, pass, shoot really is sort of developed and all players need to do all of those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, a 6'8 wing who can shoot it, I'll take one of those every single day.
Absolutely. I think everybody would.
You know, but I think the way that we now, and especially the style of basketball that Coach Nurse and myself will be playing, is much more predicated on can you dribble the ball yourself, can you pass the ball yourself, and when you get an open shot, can you shoot it and knock it down? And that's something that a lot more people can do multi-skilled than having that sort of one speciality that's just about the size of your body.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got to this point. Because as you mentioned, you are a Canadian coach.
Yeah, it's been my own dream. It's been an incredible journey for me. I was born in Swaziland in Southern Africa, and my mother's Canadian. So I've lived in these two different worlds my whole life, traveled back and forth between Africa and Canada. I grew up here, went to Oakwood Collegiate, and then went out to UBC for my degree. And the journey has been, as I alluded to earlier, has been about people and this amazing journey of meeting these key people in my life, these main stakeholders, be it Jay Triano or Coach Dwayne Casey, who have helped propel me to my current situation. And a journey that's been about loving this sport, but also loving the opportunities it provides you. You know, I spent the summer in Africa running camps and clinics. I just got back from Laloche in northern Saskatchewan. And it's this sport is incredible, right? Because it's not just about X's and O's. It's about how do you grow? How do you develop? How do you learn new skills? And that's what I want to actually impart to my players as well. We're going to be good on the court. But for me, how do we develop these young men as people primarily also as well as their basketball skill?
And I know because, I mean, I grew up in Manitoba and there's a ton of high school basketball out there. I mean, the Westman Classic was a big
tournament. I played at UBC. I played in that tournament.
It's a big Christmas tournament. Same thing, basketball in Saskatchewan. And I mean, there's a rich history in rural Alberta. And sometimes I think, you know, we always talk about how I think there's the idea that basketball is kind of it is a largely urban sport, I think, in Canada. But man, there are great wide swaths of this country where there are a ton of kids playing basketball, aren't there?
And passionate about the sport. Yeah. I mean, when we travel, I've been so lucky to travel all throughout Canada. And everywhere I go, as soon as I sort of put a Raptor logo on and they see that I'm connected to the team, one, there's a connection and awareness. Wow, this is Canada's team. And two, there's a passion that they love the sport. And I think, you know, like obviously there's hockey, there's baseball, there's tons of options. But basketball, for some reason, has found a way to ingrain itself into sort of some Canadian culture. And a lot of rural areas are enjoying the sport. And I think cheering on our teams and having that dream as well that they want to make it there too as players.
I would think that, you know, whether or not a guy from Winnipeg makes it in the NBA, I think Todd McCullough, if I'm not mistaken, was a guy from Winnipeg who may have played in the NBA. But it's just, you've got to give kids the sense that it's worthwhile staying in, isn't it? Even if you're not going to make it in the NBA, if you're some kid in Brandon or whatever. You want to give them the sense that they are doing something that's worthwhile, and seeing somebody representing the Raptors in that situation, that's essentially what that does to a kid, I think, is it makes them, I'm doing something worthwhile.
And no question, good. And you see a pathway, right?
Yeah.
When we were up this weekend in Laloche and speaking to the First Nations communities there, it was about what's your pathway? Where can you go? And is it sport that carries you there? Is it sort of music? Is it whatever your pathway is? And basketball now specifically has become a pathway for lots of people, and it doesn't end up and being an NBA superstar. A lot of time it ends up in a university degree that then carries you into whatever profession you want to have, that carries you into knowing how to interact with people so you can get a job later, or simply just meeting the person that hires you as a lawyer, you know, 10 years down the road. You know, sport is incredible for that reason, because it connects people.
When you got into coaching, did you see that connection as clearly as you do now? Or did you get into coaching because, okay, I want to get into coaching because I want to be a coach? And you know what I'm saying? Once you get into that situation, did you start to realize, or maybe because, you know, you did travel to Swaziland because of your background, maybe you already realized this. I don't know. But the idea that you really can make a difference, you use the option or the opening given to you as a coach to make a difference in somebody's life that may have nothing to do with basketball. Were you thinking about that when you got in this, that I can really make a difference in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I started as an educator. I didn't think I was going to be a coach. Okay. I was going to be a teacher.
How did you start coaching then?
So I literally, I all through school, I was taking teacher training. I was going to be a history teacher and a phys ed teacher. Mm-hmm. And I literally had a pivotal moment when I'd finished my degree at UBC. I came back to University of Toronto, finished my teacher degree at OISE. And there was a moment when there was basically a Raptor entry-level job and my dream high school teaching job at my old high school, teaching the subjects I wanted to teach.
Right.
And for those teachers listening, it's hard to get those jobs.
Sure.
And it was this perfect sort of opportunity. But this Raptor position, and it was very entry level, just being a coordinator coming in. And I said, you know what? I think that this route will be the one, because I can go back to teaching later. Mm-hmm. But the Raptor position may never be available. And at that point in my life, I'd already started running my own sort of non-for-profit basketball programs that were about people, that were about education, and that were about building leadership capacity. And for me, I've always said, you know, how do you affect the world? How can you create change? And for me, it's through sport. I mean, that's what I'm good at. That's what I love doing. And so I've tried to create situations in my life where I can combine all my passions. And that was the start of my coaching career when I said, hey, I'm taking that Raptor decision. I started coaching at University of Toronto with Coach Mike Cates. And it's been a whirlwind since then of sort of 5 or 6 years of learning, growing, developing to the point I am now.
And I could see where Masai Ujiri must have looked at you and thought, this guy's like a fellow traveler. I mean, he thinks the same way I do. He's got the same ideas. How pivotal was he in your development?
I mean, tremendously so. I think that there are, in today's day and age, you know, so few people you can actually look at as role models and sort of, you know, shadow your career after. And he's someone I met in my early days with the Raptors when he was still an assistant with Brian in their front office, you know, way back when, before he moved to Denver. And in those points, I'd spend time at his house and just ask him questions and learn, how did you do this and how did you get to where you are? And you're right, we both have an affinity for Africa. We both mm-hmm. have an affinity for people. And we both have an affinity for making a difference in the world and using our skill set to do so. So for me, you know, I feel incredibly lucky that I've been able to meet him thus far and that I've been able to journey with him and run camps with him in the summers. We had an amazing chance this summer to open a court in Kenya. Mm-hmm. And President Obama came and joined us. And I mean, for me, like, mm-hmm. absolutely incredible, right? To be able to have these opportunities that Masai affords me are just tremendous.
Dwayne Casey was let go at the end of the year, and I don't want to rehash the whole was the decision right or wrong, but the decision was made. You guys struck me as a pretty close staff. How difficult personally was the dislocation there? You know, Dwayne's not going to be here. Nick is still going to be here. I mean, everybody's got loyalties to different people. I get all that, but Dwayne has a presence. Dwayne is very much Dwayne. Dwayne's not there now. How difficult was that to live through that as a member of that staff?
Yeah, the first point is so correct. I mean, we really went through the trenches together. And when you do that, you build a bond that not much else can replicate, I think. And it was multiple years. Like, we were a staff that was, we did it year after year after year.
Yeah, there were a few changes, but by and large, the group was there.
Correct, right? So I think that, you know, the Nick Nurses, the Rex Kalamians, myself, and then Coach Casey was always about how do we find a way past, you know, it's the next game. Yeah. How do you find a way to win the next game? And sometimes the pressure is gigantic in the playoffs, or it's a simple game in the middle of the season, but you're always sort of working to find a way to win the next game. And that brotherhood and connection was tremendous. And I think when that sort of finished at the end of this year, it left us all, you know, sort of figuring, okay, well, what's next and where do we go? But we've all been able to stay connected and remember that we were in the trenches together, and mm-hmm. that never goes away. So, you know, with Coach now in Detroit, Rex is in Los Angeles with the Clippers. You know, Nick obviously doing that, and me moving on to 905. We're all in different places now, but we're connected because of the fights we went through.
There's no bitterness, is there?
No, you know what? We spent too much time together to be bitter.
Right.
It's we're friends, you know, and we're family, and if there's ups and downs, and
you've
and
probably seen each other some pretty low points and some pretty high points.
We've been through it all together, so you know, I think it's not about at this. It's not about bitterness or anything like that. It's literally we've each shifted to a different place in our lives, but the memories of what we did together will live on and last forever. So we wish each other luck. We all want to be successful, of course, when we play the other person,
right?
But it's to me it was an amazing part of my life to grow from such. Grow as a coach, learning from each of those people because each are excellent in their own craft. So for me, I was just lucky to be with them.
John, listen, we really appreciate you joining us. Best of luck with Raptors 905. And, you know, I think a lot of people like what you're doing with Canadian basketball. And I think hiring the Canadian assistants, hiring a female assistant is a big step for the sport in the country. So we wish you the best of luck. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks, appreciate it.